Hi there, my name is Cammie. I am the mom of a pre-med student named Kylie, and she's going to introduce herself here in just a minute. When I was young, I actually wanted to be a doctor, but I was easily dissuaded by an advisor who questioned me, and I was also overwhelmed by biology. So turns out that I did not become a doctor. I did something else with my life, which was also interesting and great, but I have a daughter who wants to be a doctor. She's been on her pre-med journey for 5 years now, a little more than 5 years. And I just wanted to create this podcast with her so she could tell her story and we could reflect on it and maybe others would benefit. Maybe people who might have been dissuaded like I was, or people who are facing different challenges as they go through this process. So Kylie, do you want to tell these guys about yourself?
I'm Kylie. I am a 2019 University of Oregon graduate. I was a human physiology major with a chemistry minor, and I'm currently applying to medical school to start in 2021, and I'm working as a medical scribe in dermatology, and I'm excited to share my story with you guys and for the next step in my life.
Great. Well, thanks, Kylie. It's awfully nice of you to do that. I wanted to talk to you about just what it's like for me as a mom just watching you go through this process. It's just amazing to see the steps you've taken and how you've grown and just the determination that you've shown. And one of the memories that really stands out for me was when you actually made your decision, because I remember when you were in high school, you were determined that you wanted to go into a different area, business. And then one day you asked me, and you were a senior in high school, so it's kind of amusing, you said, "Hey mom, is it too late for me to change my major?" And I don't really know why you were asking me that or what was going through your mind. So I just thought it would be fun if you could tell the story of how you decided to become a doctor and your love of the human body and anatomy and physiology and all of that.
Yeah, so I took a bunch of business classes in high school, like pre-business, and they were interesting and relatively easy, although it was high school, which I didn't really consider. But I just kind of decided I was going to go into that and didn't really give anything else any consideration. And then I took anatomy and physiology as a junior in high school, and I was really surprised by how much I enjoyed it because I never really enjoyed the other foundational science courses. And we dissected cats, and it was really interesting and hands-on, and we had weekly quizzes based on different structures and different systems, and it was really interesting, and I was confused about how much I liked it, so I ended up ignoring that for about a year, and then right before I graduated, I thought about it and was curious if I could switch, and I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do with a human physiology major or degree, but I was curious to try it, and I asked my mom if I could switch because I didn't really know how that worked, and she thought it was pretty funny. So
yes, I did, because she was still in high school.
Yeah, I didn't know how college worked, so I switched and just decided to try it out and go down the pre-med path, and it ended up working out really well, and I never switched back.
Is any advice you might have for other students who are considering this as a career choice, maybe as a direction they want to go?
I think a big thing is to consider all of your options from every angle and not just based on how much money you might be making or your grades at the moment or what you think your life should like based what you think your life should look like based on what you've been told or how you were raised. What's really interesting is that medical schools have become very holistic in their application reviews, along with nursing and PA and all the other health professions, and they encourage diversity and looking for a wide variety of students, so there isn't one perfect pre-med student that they want. So really anybody could do it as long as you stick with your goal and decide that that's something that you're interested in doing and put in the time. And a big thing is during college and during studying for the MCAT, whenever you're feeling unmotivated or stressed, just remember what made you go into medicine and remember the goal that you're working towards.
So that really does sound like it was your kind of your purpose and the bigger picture that kept you motivated and kept you going. And that we've learned that in positive psychology, that having a purpose to kind of drive your actions is really helpful and kind of keeps you on the path that you want to stay on. And I clearly didn't have that. I was pretty young when I changed my major, although not as young as you. But I did make a decision to go a different direction because I wasn't as driven for that particular purpose. And I didn't quite have the love of the subject that you had, because when I was in high school, I actually wasn't exposed to anatomy and physiology the way that you were. I was just good at math and science, and I thought, oh, well, then I should maybe be a doctor. But I don't think it was the same as the drive that you have. And speaking of math, I thought it would be kind of fun to talk about that, because some of the people listening might be thinking, well, gosh, the only way I can go into this area is if I'm good at math. But you weren't always good at math. Can you tell us about that journey?
Yeah, no, I struggled a lot in high school and middle school. Really, whenever I started learning math, I didn't understand it. And I didn't understand why it was so important. But now that I've mastered it and spent so much time on it, I understand that it's essentially the foundation of every field that you might go into, particularly with statistics and data. And it applies to more than just medicine and science and math itself. I overcame this obstacle by dedicating a lot of my time to understanding the material and pushing past my fear of math with my mom's help. That all started in geometry when I was a freshman in high school, and it felt impossible, but she sat down and basically relearned it and retaught it to me, and we spent a crazy amount of time figuring it out, and I ended up acing the class. And that was crazy because I was really struggling at the beginning, and we kind of kept doing that throughout high school because I continued to struggle with each different level of math. And then once I had those skills and was able to apply everything that my mom taught me when it comes to learning something that you don't understand right away, I was able to do really well in math in college, and I never really struggled with it again. And so that was a really motivating situation for me, especially given how hard math was for me at first.
That's amazing, and I was hoping you would give me some acknowledgement for all that time I spent helping you with geometry. And it is quite interesting because I struggled in geometry myself when I was in high school. It was one of the lower grades that I got, and it really took me being motivated to help Kylie with it to actually learn it. So I didn't really learn it until I was an adult, until, what, 8 years ago when we did that together. And there was something about doing it together that also really motivated me. But I would spend a lot of time learning it myself, and you do have to learn things really well in order to teach them. So that was definitely something that I leveraged in my continued growth and learning of geometry. And I don't know if I could still do it today, but I think given that I knew it well enough at that point to teach Kylie, I probably could. But one thing that I think is just really amazing and that is inspiring to me is to see a student who's open-minded and who believes that they can learn and grow. And we talk about that in positive psychology in the area of growth mindset, where there's actually a self-fulfilling prophecy. So if you were to think to yourself, I'm not good at math, so I'm not really going to try, I'm just going to accept a lower grade and, you know, just hopefully just get through it, just kind of grit my teeth, but not really focus on it too much because I don't like it, then your scores would have been lower. But as you got good scores, I think you got more motivated.
Yeah, and I definitely did.
You realized you could do it. And it seems to me that you applied that when you got to college too.
Yeah, I definitely already had the growth mindset from my math classes in high school, so that made not only college level math, but all of the foundational sciences easier. And I definitely still struggled, and it's not like I aced every course, which is not necessary to get into medical school, as far as I know. But I definitely made failure more motivating because I knew I could potentially overcome it if I applied my growth mindset. And it also made success even more exciting because I knew that I worked through the difficult material and was able to apply everything that my mom taught me.
Well, and I bet this growth mindset will serve you in the profession someday too, because as you know from your job as a medical scribe and through the process of applying to medical school as well, challenges keep coming up. So math was just the first one, and there's always going to be more. And the study of the human body is complicated and always changing, and new things are always happening. So as a doctor, you'll need to still learn and grow someday, I imagine.
Yeah, definitely.
And I do think that those math skills came in handy in your growth mindset as well when it was time to take the MCAT. And so did embracing failure.
Yeah.
At least I think so. So can you tell us about your experience taking the MCAT? And really, I asked you if you considered the 2019 MCAT a failure, and you said that you did. So I think it would be useful for our audience to hear what that felt like and how you overcame it.
Yeah, so I planned to take the MCAT at the end of my senior year of college and was going to apply in order to start right around now in 2020. So I took a prep course through University of Oregon, which was it was helpful, but what I learned was that course just kind of focused on a general content overview, but didn't really focus on the structure of the test and the timing and practice test, which is really very important. I would say equally as important as the material. And I also was studying by myself because none of my other friends were pre-med. They were all into different health professions. So that made it difficult, partially because I was balancing studying for the MCAT by myself and studying for my other classes and trying to fit in social activities during my senior year. And a lot of it was me missing out because I was studying, or me going to the event and feeling guilty that I wasn't studying. And so I think that those are two of the main reasons why my score didn't reflect my best efforts. And while I do consider my first MCAT to be a failure with respect to my score, it was definitely a learning experience for me. And in the end, I did end up improving my score, and I think I'll be a better doctor because of it.
That's amazing. I could see where a student might have an experience of not doing as well in the MCAT and looking at their score and thinking, well, I'm not going to get in, so, you know, maybe I should do something else, which is kind of what happened to me with the professor when I was a freshman, where I just felt discouraged and I gave up. And I'm just impressed that you didn't give up, that you were willing to try again and give it a kind of a more focused shot during a time when you didn't have college and you didn't have those distractions of the social things with your friends. You still had to do it basically by yourself, but you were at least able to focus on it without the distractions of other things. I'm curious if goals played into it, setting goals related to your second MCAT, and if so, how they did.
Yeah, I think that they did. The feeling of failure associated with my first MCAT played into my new goals in 2020. I became more motivated to prove myself and to drastically improve my score during my second attempt. And I knew that all my hard work wasn't for nothing, and I just needed to be resilient and try again and find a new approach. So a big thing was my mom actually found a Princeton Review prep class that fit in with my work schedule. It was online lectures and homework assignments after work, so it was definitely a difficult time. It was very busy, and I was mostly working and studying and nothing else, but that really helped because they also kind of lay out a schedule for you. And even though I was studying by myself, it was like I had a little virtual community that I was studying with, and virtual professors that were motivating and would help explain complicated topics and were open to questions outside of class. So those definitely helped. And the class was associated with a particular test date, which was the test date that I chose. So that helped with the goals because it really laid out your progress for you and showed you where you should be at what time frame, and if you weren't there, how you could catch up, and so on. So that was really helpful.
Well, and then the pandemic hit, and I'm just curious how that affected your studying and what it was like to study during a pandemic.
Yeah, studying during a pandemic was a unique experience. I am the type of person who focuses better outside of the house, so I've always gone to a coffee shop or a library to study. However, that wasn't an option during the pandemic, so I had to adapt and learn how to study well at home. My MCAT was also canceled twice due to my county's safety restrictions, so instead of taking it in early April like I intended, I ended up taking it in the end of June. So while I do think that the extra study time did improve my score in the end, it was definitely tough to continually restructure my study schedule at the last minute because my exam got canceled a couple weeks before the date both times, which I totally understand how that happened, but it was definitely hard, and I'm sure other people can relate. It can be difficult to adapt when plans change, but I continue to learn that challenging situations encourage growth and can eventually bring out the best in people. And I did struggle for a while, but I'm grateful for the outcome and how much I learned along the way.
That's amazing. So really, you kind of found a silver lining in the situation. You definitely had some focused study time, and you've set up an office at home and made it so that you were able to study and keep moving forward. And you seemed, from at least from my perspective, like you had a really good attitude about the changing date. You weren't too attached to any particular date that you would take the MCAT on, and you knew that eventually you would get a chance to take it, and you did. And based on that, I'm curious, did you reach the goal that you set? Did you get the score that you wanted to on the 2020 MCAT?
Yeah, I did reach my goal, which was really exciting. I think that a big reason how I reached my goal was definitely the prep class and the support from my parents and the extra study time. And in general, extra study time compared to when I first took my MCAT, I gave myself about 3 months, 3 to 4 months to study, and that didn't seem like enough alongside a full course load in college. So I definitely had a lot more time, particularly with the pandemic and not working for part of that time. So I did get to achieve my goal, and that was really exciting. And it was really motivating because it showed that even though I wasn't necessarily prepared completely for the first test, or that I just misinterpreted how I should be studying, you can definitely achieve it. You might just need to try again.
And trying again was successful for you. And now you're at the point when you've filled out applications and it's kind of behind you. I imagine you'll never take the MCAT again, at least we hope not.
That's not the plan.
That's definitely not the plan. I'm curious to know what advice you have for the students coming after you about working with other people, about sticking to their career choice, and about failure.
Yeah, based on my experience and the experiences of my friends in college who are also studying and working hard, working towards health professions, I've learned that we'll all eventually likely experience failure at least once in our lives. It might not be academic, but in one way or another, you'll probably experience failure, and we'll all be better in the end because of it. I've learned not to let failure dissuade me from my goals, and that's something I would encourage in others. And although it can be upsetting and difficult to face your failure, and it might take you some time, you'll experience so much personal growth as a result, and you'll always learn from your mistakes. And it's really beneficial if you stick with your goals and your path, because it's very likely that you'll achieve it.
Yeah. And so far it looks like you're going that direction. And I do want to say that there is a science to goal setting, and I watched you do it. I watched you take those small steps every day to get to the MCAT score that you did, and I was just impressed. I watched you get up early and you put everything in your backpack, and during the time that you could, you would head to Starbucks and you would spend the day there studying when the rest of the family was kicking back, maybe not working nearly as hard as you. And I just love how you committed to that long-term study plan. It kind of reminds me of the way you work out. You're committed to doing it every day, and you just step by step, you just always do it. And that is the science of goal setting and grit, where you have a big goal, and for you it was a certain MCAT score that you wanted to get, and then you just break that down into smaller pieces, and on any given day you know what you need to do, and all you need to do is do that thing on that day. But over time, those things add up. That step by step can really move you to the point where you obtain your vision and you reach your goal. And that's really what happened for you. And then you can celebrate and you can feel the satisfaction of a job well done. And it sounds like that's really what happened for you.
Yeah, that is.
Well, as you know, I like to end the podcast with a what's good question. So really reflecting on positive emotions and on how you built yourself up during this whole process and what you can take forward with you. And you have mentioned lots of things about embracing failure and knowing that you can grow from it and all of that. It's also important to feel grateful for things that you have and to look at your life through a positive lens. And there's actually a science behind that too that we learn in positive psychology, which is if you are feeling positive emotions, you want to build, you want to create, you want to contribute to other people's lives. And if you're feeling negative emotions, you're more focused, you're maybe full of anxiety and worry, and it's much harder for you to be successful in that more negative focused state. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't have negative emotions. Those aren't wrong, and in fact, they protect us. But we don't want them to sit with us for a long time. We want to be in a positive state as much as we can. So I was just curious, what do you take away from this? What's good, Kylie?
I learned that resilience, grit, and growth are key aspects of success. I've grown so much since I first took the MCAT in 2019, and I'll continue to grow until I start medical school and beyond that by implementing these positive psychology strategies in my day-to-day life and focusing on growth rather than focusing on failure. And while a year between my two MCATs was challenging and full of studying and preparing and adapting, I learned a tremendous amount about medicine and about myself, and I think that I will be a better physician and person because of it.
That's awesome, Kylie. Thank you. Thanks for chatting today. I hope our audience can take some of this with them in their own medical school journeys.
Yeah, thank you.